Well, good morning, and allow me to add my welcome to Jill's. It's great to have you here. Appreciate the extra effort it takes to get out of bed and into church on a wet weather day. It's not that easy. So thank you. Bless you for coming into the Lord's house today. We had a really powerful service last week. It really was. And we're just sometimes so guilty of just moving on to the next Sunday and the next Sunday and the next Sunday. And, you know, God really moved and really touched our hearts through the freedom we have to worship. And just as we were in that worship set just then, I really felt, again, just a word that came from the Spirit for us, just a word that I think that we need to entertain as we start to consider about coming under the Word of God this morning. It's just a thought, a word I do believe is from the Spirit. I just heard, "Are you thirsty today? Are you thirsty today?" And my mind went to John chapter 7, where Jesus says, "If anyone is thirsty, let him or her come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, streams of living water will flow from within." I want to ask you this morning as we come under the Word of God, how thirsty are you for the Word of God? Because I could just roll through another sermon and we could roll through another Sunday, or is this going to be a moment where we just take a little heart check, a little soul check, and we just ask that question of ourselves? How thirsty for Jesus are you today? How thirsty for the Word of God to come and maybe break areas of our life that we've been holding on to, that's holding us back from experiencing greater freedom in Christ? I want us to pray. I would love for you to spend a few moments just seeking out Jesus yourself, asking Jesus that He would reveal Himself to you in these moments as well, as we come under His Word this morning. So let's pray and allow me to lead us in a time of prayer and reflection. Our Lord, we come before You this morning. And Jesus, we don't just want to launch into just another sermon. Lord, we want to take stock. We want to take a moment. We want to acknowledge, Lord, as we hear this rain falling down around us, we thank You for the rain that fills our thirsty land. But Father, we also want to pray that Holy Spirit, that You would be spiritual rain, that You would flood into our souls this morning. Lord Jesus, if we're thirsty for You, You say that You will be living water. You say that streams of living water will flow from us if we're thirsty for You, Jesus. So Lord, we want to take this moment and we want to reach out to You afresh. We want to call upon Your name. We long for Your power. Would You come to us? Why don't you take a few moments just to reach out to Jesus for yourself? How thirsty are you for Jesus today? We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You are the living water. You want to rush over our souls. You want to restore our soul into wholeness in Christ. Spirit, come. Come and speak to Your children. Come and speak to us this morning. We need You, Spirit. Lord, Your world needs You. And Father, right now, our heart and our prayers go out for families in Christchurch that are mourning the deep sadness of loss. We pray, Father, that Your kingdom would come in this city, that You would rally the churches to reach out with practical ways of love and help to those that are struggling and grieving in Christchurch today. Lord, we say that that is wrong and that was never meant to be. You tell us to love our neighbor. Lord, we pray for healing on that city as we pray for healing upon our soul today. Come to us, Jesus. We are thirsty for You. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Jill was right. We are moving into, thanks Sam, week 4 into our Freedom in Christ launch. We do desire this year to go deeper and deeper into the kingdom of God. And we do that through obedience to the very teachings of Jesus. If we are obedient to the teachings of Jesus, we will go deeper into the kingdom and we will experience a greater freedom in Christ that we're experiencing now because Jesus longs for us to be completely free. It's important, I think, that we just have a little basketball time out for a few moments because it's easy just to skip through to the next topic, but we've had three really powerful weeks where we've been unpacking parts and layers to this vision for us, freedom in Christ. Week one, we launched this our new logo lockup, which was the completion of our signage movement, but we made a powerful statement to say that Jesus Christ has set us free from our sin. We're no longer condemned by God. We are set free. We aren't held back by guilt or shame. We are loved. We are forgiven. We are free. And we've been looking at our freedom memory verses. If you don't have one of these with a fridge magnet on the back, grab one on your way out, put it on your fridge. These are our freedom verses that it would be great if we could all memorize these scriptures this year. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we keep in step with the Spirit and we experience that freedom that God has for us. On the second week, we had a very refreshing challenge from Pastor Andrew about the freedom to witness. Andrew made this great statement, you can't will yourself to witness. What he meant by that is that we need to turn to God, we need to confess our sin and our need for Jesus, and then give up our desire for comfort, give up our desire for control, give up our desire for security, and then call down the Holy Spirit to empower us. And in that power of God upon us, we can have a freedom to witness. But so often we're held back because we want comfort, we want security, we're afraid of what people will think of us. But if we choose to die a little in that way and ask the Spirit to come upon us, it's the Spirit in us that can enable us to be free to witness to our neighbors, our friends, our family, our work colleagues. But if we just think that we can muster up the strength, as Andrew said, you can't will yourself to witness, we need the Spirit of God as we embrace Jesus Christ. And then last week was really powerful. I should say the memory verse for that, that the Spirit of the Lord is on me because He has anointed me to preach the good news. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. And last week, Pastor Sam led us in a great message around the freedom to worship. And this was our memory verse. In Him and through faith in Him, we can approach God with freedom and confidence. Wow, what a sermon. We learned last week that when we get the Word of God, His truth, in our soul, it's like fuel. And the Holy Spirit comes, and that's the spark. And when the Holy Spirit sparks the truth of God that you've put in your soul, wow, affections for God just overflow, and our love for others deepens. So we get the truth of God in our soul, the Holy Spirit becomes the spark, and then wow, we worship God, not just on Sundays, each day of the week, we worship God. Our affections for God overflow, our love for one another overflows, and that's the Word and the Spirit that sets us free to worship God. How good is this, church? I hope you're excited by this. I trust that it's going to make a real, tangible, powerful, life-transforming change in all our lives because this is the direction that we believe Jesus is leading us in. So today we're pushing on. We're looking at the freedom to restrain. This is a really important discipleship rhythm. We're talking about the challenge that we have today around our thought life and around the struggle we have with worldly pleasures, the struggle we have with sin, and the importance of obedience to Jesus Christ, which leads to a greater freedom. I believe that freedom, it does not imply that we have the right to do whatever we want when we want it, or we can say what we want when we want it. I don't believe that that's freedom. I believe that's the idea that secular Australia has that drives what I believe is a false freedom. Freedom is not We can do what we want, when we want it. That is autonomy. What I'd like to do is just spend a few moments to contrast the difference between autonomy and freedom. I was reading a book, Sam lent it to me, just a couple of chapters, called Saving Truth by Abdu Murray, and he says that we have mistaken autonomy for freedom in the West, and autonomy being auto, being self, is the pursuit of self, to do what you want, when you want, when you feel like it, to say what you want, and we call that freedom. And I would say that's wrong. I would say that's autonomy. And I think Abdu's right when he states this: freedom is not synonymous with autonomy. Autonomy, which is do what you want when you want it, leads to chaos. He's right. Autonomy leads to chaos. Freedom is the ability to do not just what we want, but what we should. That's freedom. I love this part of the quote. That is why Jesus so wisely binds truth and freedom. That's so on the money, if you ask me. Jesus said in John chapter 8, he says this: if you hold to my teaching, you're really my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Do you see how Jesus combines truth and freedom, and what brings them together? It's obedience to his teaching. Real action. Obedience to his teaching brings truth and freedom together. Genuine freedom, it must have boundaries, or it's not freedom, it's autonomy. It's so important that we get this contrast right that I think we need to get a little bit more illustrative. So, I'm going to play the piano this morning. This is my moment, Sam. Camera people, I'm going to get off the stage, so I hope you can sort of track me there. I'll give you a little bit of time because I didn't warn that. This is my moment to perform. I've never performed an instrument before people before, ever. How do you feel right now? So, you feeling good? How good is this going to be? This is like, I've always wanted to perform in front of people. So right now, I'm going to play with autonomy. I'm going to play what I want, when I feel like it, and it's going to be awesome because it's true for me. It doesn't matter about how it looks to you, but it's going to be great because I'm going to enjoy it, because I'm going to do what I want, when I feel like it. And you know what? The West says that's freedom. And I want to say it's not freedom, it's autonomy. So I'm just going to play what I want when I feel like it. How good's this? I'm loving it. Are you enjoying it? I'm so sorry, piano players. Graham out there, I'm so sorry. But there's a bit of old Rugged Cross in that. Surely I can hear Rugged Cross in that. Can you? Okay, that's way too far, Paul. But what about Sam? Sam is going to come forward and he's going to play with freedom. You see, music has, is it right, Sam? 12 notes? 12 notes. He told me that before, but I just wanted to double check. So music has 12 notes, and Sam is going to play within the boundaries of 12 notes. Take it away, brother. Do you feel the freedom? Is Sam playing what he wants when he wants? No. He's playing within the boundaries of 12 notes, and it's beautiful. Because if freedom is going to be genuine freedom, there has to be boundaries. Sam's not playing with autonomy. He's playing with freedom. Do you follow? Do you see how important this is? Genuine freedom has boundaries. Thank you, Sam. Thank you for saving that illustration. Here's the truth for us. When we obediently follow Jesus in our thoughts, in our words, and in our actions, we are truly free to live a life of beauty and wholeness. Before this series, we looked at Your Kingdom Come. And Sam preached around beauty and wholeness. When we follow Jesus with our lips, with our thoughts, with our actions, we are truly free to live a life of beauty and wholeness. Obedience to Jesus brings us greater freedom. That's the truth this morning. Boundaries apply to every area of freedom. Allow me to go a little bit further. Sometimes we need to let this sink in a little bit more. In our house, our three boys, we've got a front yard and a backyard. We have a boundary, which is basically the top step. No ball games beyond the top step. We live on Kringy Heights Road. It's a very busy road. And the thought of ball games at the top on the council strip and one of our children running after the ball, that's too much. So there is a boundary. Our kids are free to play in the front yard and backyard. They just can't go beyond that boundary. Does it sound familiar? Where does autonomy take you? I can do what I want. When I feel like it, I'll play up there. And what happens? Our kids have a chance to lose their freedom. But genuine freedom has boundaries, so our kids can enjoy the backyard and front yard as much as they want. What about marriage? I am free to love my wife within the bounds of faithfulness, of love and respect, of patience and kindness and generosity. But I'm free to love Michelle in all these creative, beautiful, life-giving ways. But autonomy says, well, if I have a need and a sexual need, then just fulfill that need if that's what you think you need. And what happens? It brings chaos and pain and hurt. And here's our memory verse for this week. Please grab one of these and take them home. It's so important. 1 Peter chapter 2. The Apostle Peter says this: live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. So we want to live as servants of God. We are free to live in the boundaries of Jesus' teaching, and it will bring us a greater freedom indeed. So we want to work out, what does it mean to live as servants of God? Holding to his teachings, loving the very boundaries that Jesus sets for us, which gives us the freedom to restrain. This morning, we think that saying no is not good, but no is very good. If I said yes to my kids in every little thing, what would happen? No is good. And Jesus said, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And we have a freedom to say no to worldly pleasures. We do have a freedom to say no to sin. And in that, we experience a wholeness and a beauty and a love, and relationships are protected and restored. And we become, as we've been reflecting, more sound in Christ. I want to spend the rest of our time just reflecting on what happens in our thought life. Because here's an important reality for us. What goes into your mind comes out of your life. Do you agree? What goes into your mind comes out of your life. Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. Have you ever considered that? Your life is always moving in the direction of your strongest thoughts. If you have lots and lots of gossip thoughts, guess what? What goes into your mind will come out in your life, and you'll always go in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And when we feel hurt and pain, we just want to flesh out behind that person's back, and it ruins relationships, and it's poison to your soul, and it's not what Jesus says we are to live by. We're to go straight to the person one-on-one, have a face-to-face conversation, how they upset us, free from gossip and ready for reconciliation. The kingdom comes. We live within the boundaries that Jesus sets, and we experience a greater freedom. Praise God. If you want to change your life for Christ, then we really need to change our thinking. What goes into your mind, I want to say it again, will come out of your life. If we are always entertaining lustful thoughts, gossip thoughts, coveting thoughts, jealous thoughts, greedy thoughts, if you're always entertaining that in your mind, then it's going to come out of your life. And we live in a culture that says you're free to do what you want when you want, and that's not freedom, that's autonomy, and it leads to chaos and destruction, not freedom. Australia is chained by autonomy, thinking that it's freedom. But genuine freedom is when we're in Christ, holding to his teachings. Do you follow? This is such an important discipleship moment for all of us this morning. The mind is a battlefield. It really is. That's why I want to focus on the mind. We've been doing that in the apprenticeship series on Wednesday nights. The mind, I think, is a real battlefield between our autonomy, because we just have this natural desire for sin, which is not natural. It's not the way God originally created this earth. And we just have this propensity to head towards autonomy, doing what I want when I feel like it. And there's this war going on in our mind between our autonomy and Christ's freedom for us. Do you feel that battle? The Apostle Paul did all the time. He says, I keep doing what I don't want to do. Oh, but the grace of God, we'll come to that. Hence why there's communion today, which is not a communion day, so I hope I don't confuse you. Our thoughts are a battlefield over God's truth about you and Satan's lies to you. Because there is a big spiritual component here. Our mind is a battlefield about God's truth about you and Satan's lies to you. Satan wants to sow in lots and lots of lies about what you're not. But Jesus wants to tell you who you are. And when we hear you are not, it's usually a lie from the devil, because the Bible says you are. Because God is. The mind is a battlefield. Think about what you think about. So what I'd like to do is a thought audit. Let's do a thought audit this morning. Take a look at the screen. Have a look at this continuum. Where would you place yourself? Think about worried thoughts, peaceful thoughts. So in your day-to-day life, so Monday morning, if you could put like a little mental stroke, where would you kind of put yourself? Would you be more down worried thoughts or more up around you feel peaceful thoughts, the peace of God? Negative thoughts, are you always just thinking the worst of situations and the worst of people, and that, you know, you aren't good enough and life is not fair and this is hard and I just don't really want to do life? You put yourself down the negative thoughts or more up the positive thoughts? Are you kind of somebody that sort of more sees an optimistic outlook about what God can actually do in the impossible? Where do you put yourself? Worldly thoughts, eternal thoughts? Are you always thinking about how to keep you and your family safe over and above everybody else? As if our personal asset portfolio is far more important than what God wants to do through us and his church? Are we always greedy for more and more and more pleasures and desires and experiences that aren't the kingdom? Where would you put yourself? Are you more thinking constantly more worldly thoughts? Or do you find yourself more thinking about, wow, how can I bless somebody today? How can I bless the church? How can I love those that God brings across my path? How can I worship God today? What about the last one? Sinful thoughts or obedient thoughts? Where do you put yourself? Is there a particular sin that you're just munching on and you just can't let it go, and it's created a neural pathway in your mind, which is basically a habit that's really hard to break, and you just keep going back to that sin, because you think about that sin and what you put in your mind will come out in your life? Or is it more on obedient thoughts? Jesus, how do I follow you today? I'm going to say no to that sin and yes to what you want me to do. I've got a hunch this morning that if you're anything like me, it's hard to put yourself up around where we know we should be. The mind is a battlefield. My hunch today is that many of us, like myself, have worried thoughts, negative thoughts, worldly thoughts, sinful thoughts, and it comes out in our behaviors, and we don't know the greater freedom that Jesus has for us. Jesus rescues us from the prison of autonomy. He does. Into a freedom to restrain. And that is life-giving. I mentioned before gossip, and the reason why I am is because, unfortunately, I see it so prevalent in Christian circles. It ruins the church, destroys relationships. Think about it with me for a second. Somebody's hurt you. It takes a lot of courage to go to that person one-on-one, doesn't it? Share that grievance. It's challenging to do Matthew 18. And so what do? We think about our hurt. We think about our pain. And as Kay mentioned in the apprenticeship series, it unlocks feelings. And those feelings start to drive a pattern of behavior. We do it once, we can do it again and a third time. And we feel like it's our right to share about that person behind their back. And so when we actually do that, it's poison to our soul and it ruins the relationship with that person. That's just what the devil wants. But you see, we have freedom to restrain. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, even though we're hurt, we can hold our tongue because we have the Spirit of God to do that. We can speak well of people. And if we have the courage and the timing, we can go to that person and speak one-on-one. And when we do that, hopefully reconciliation happens at times. Then we need to go deeper levels around mediation, but initially face-to-face with the person. And when we do, what happens? The kingdom comes. A relationship has a chance to be reconciled. And then we are free from the poison of gossip, rather chained by what sin actually wants to do. And it's really hard, church, because our world says do what you want when you want. That's freedom. It's not. It's autonomy. We have a freedom to restrain and to say no. And the more we live out the teachings of Jesus, the freer we become. And I want to say that, like I'm free to love Michelle within the bounds of faithfulness, I'm free to love Jesus within the bounds of his teachings, and that's freedom. Praise God. Praise God. So I just want to give us two helpful, what I think is helpful, it's helpful in my life, application starters around our freedom to restrain. And the first is this. I want you to think about it in your mind, in your heart. What is the number one stronghold holding you back? For some of us, we can think of it straight away. For others, it's hard. But think about it. What is the number one stronghold in your life that's actually holding you back from going deeper into the kingdom and into the greater freedom that we can have in Christ? What's the number one stronghold? If you're struggling to understand what that is in your life, then maybe allow me to help you flesh it out a little bit. There are three usually unhelpful realities in our life that create a spiritual stronghold. It's like this sinful habit, this cycle that we're held into of fleshing out, feeling guilty, a little bit of time goes, then we have those thoughts because we long for that sin in our life, then we flesh out again, we feel guilty, and then we have a bit of time where we don't do it, and then we have those sinful thoughts and we flesh out again, and the cycle of sin continues and gets quicker and quicker and quicker, and unfortunately it can really hurt those around us. Sometimes there's unmet needs in our life, and that can bring strong envy, unforgiveness, anger, bitterness, lust, a loose tongue, there's lying. Unmet needs in our life unlock a bunch of feelings that we struggle to deal with, and then what goes into our mind comes out of our life. What's the number one stronghold holding you back? Have you got it? Sometimes it's unhealthy coping mechanisms. We abuse alcohol too much. We indulge in gambling too much. Or it could be pornography. That's only a few. There are so many. There are unhelpful coping strategies. We're trying to cope with the pain within or the unmet need. And so we flesh out in unhealthy coping mechanisms. Or there's unrealistic expectations that we put on ourselves. Have you ever heard the lie, you're not good enough? If there's one lie from the devil that constantly comes, it's this: you're not good enough. You're not good enough. And the reason why I think it's so powerful as a lie, because there's an element of truth to it. As Christians, we're not good enough. But with God in our life, we can overcome all the challenges before us. So in some senses, you know what? We're not good enough. But with God, as Sam led us in worship this morning, a with God life, we can actually overcome. There is no doubt that some of these strongholds in our life, they need a combination of professional help and I think also some deeper spiritual help and counseling for sure. But I still believe in the power of God's word as well. Alongside of some extra help, I believe that the power of God's word can break strongholds in our life. I want to encourage us this morning that you can replace a stronghold of unmet needs with a biblical truth. You can replace the stronghold of unhealthy coping measures with a biblical truth. You can replace the stronghold of unrealistic expectations that we sometimes put on ourselves with a biblical truth. So I want to encourage us in this second way. Name the truth that demolishes that stronghold. This is what the Apostle Paul says in Corinthians. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Every thought. Have a look at this word capture. When you actually look more at the Greek word, it means at sword point or spear point. We take every thought or every argument or every lie or every pretension or every sinful desire and we get the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, the word of God, and we hold that thought and we put the spear point, the sword point to that thought and we get the word of God and we pierce that sinful thought in the name of Jesus and we make it obedient to Christ, and when we do that, we will know a greater freedom. Amen. So I want to encourage you, what is the number one stronghold holding you back? And what is the biblical truth that you can use as like a sword to pierce that thought, to pierce that pattern of behavior, and it's going to take some time according to how much of a habit it is in your life. And that's why, yes, sometimes we need some extra help, and it's okay to not be okay. Just be ready to put your hand up. And that's why I think Jesus spoke at the beginning of our service, how thirsty are you? How thirsty are you for me? Because if you are really thirsty for Jesus and really thirsty to live within his boundaries, which is freedom, then he will give you that living water. But it's got to start from your desire, your willingness to put your hand up and say, I'm going to get some serious help. I'm going to break this cycle, not because I can do it within my own strength, but because I need the Spirit of God. I need Christian community, and I need at times some extra help. Do you follow? Because I kind of feel that if we're really going to plumb the depths of our freedom in Christ, we've got to get serious with this thirst to be obedient to Jesus. If freedom in Christ is really going to set this church more and more on fire, then it's up to you and I to genuinely own our desire for obedience. Don't just think that you're just there and you can just be lost in the numbers of CBC. No, it matters. It actually really matters. Right now, it matters. Your life, it matters before God. God wants you free from what's holding you back. He loves you. He formed you. Yes, you. He formed you in your mother's womb. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. The world, the flesh, and the devil have been powerful instruments to chain us into the prison of autonomy, thinking that it's freedom. It's not. If there's unforgiveness in your life, you're really struggling with unforgiveness. Well, what do? We get back to what Jesus said. He taught us how to pray, and he said, when you pray, pray, forgive us our debts as we forgive those that trespass against us. Every day, if you're praying, Father, forgive me for my sin, and I forgive this person for hurting me, you do that every single day of your life. Watch what the Spirit does. But we want to hold on to our unforgiveness and anger, and when it's been there for so long, it's almost like, well, what am I going to think about if I let it go? And so it's easier to hold on to the unforgiveness than let it go. The longer and the more you've got unforgiveness in your life, the harder it is to let go. I want to say, I really encourage you, you've got to let it go. How do you do it? You get this word of God and you hold it at spear point, the unforgiveness in your life, and you listen to the teachings of Jesus and you pray the way he instructed us to pray. Father, forgive us our debts as we forgive those that hurt us. Forgive that person every day. And you know what's at the end of that road? It's freedom. Amen. Freedom from the pain and the anger that you're holding on to. Life is always moving in the direction of our strongest thoughts. If you want to change your life, you need to change your thinking. And we do that through the Word of God. Don't stay locked in the prison of autonomy, thinking that it's freedom. No way. Jesus has come and he's opened the door of that prison. And he gives us the freedom. Freedom to live out his teachings. And that's real life. And that's when Jesus says, I've come that you may have life and life in its abundance. The abundant life isn't doing what you want. It's doing what you should. As Abdu said in that quote. And what we should is live out the teachings of Jesus. I hope this is abundantly clear this morning. I hope you feel challenged and stirred, not depressed and thinking it's too hard. No. We have each other. We have the Word of God. We have prayer. And we have the Lord's Supper for us. And that's why I think it is so powerful. Jesus gives us a freedom to restrain, a freedom to change, a freedom to say no. The Apostle Paul says to Titus, he says this, for the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all people. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow, who can't wait for that day? Jesus will appear. He is coming. But right now, we get to live in the grace of God. And look what the grace of God does. His love, his forgiveness that brings salvation for all eternity, it teaches us to do what? To say no. To say no to ungodliness. And yes, to living out the teachings of Jesus. So often we're trapped in this cycle of sin and worry and worldly temptations, and we're like, wow, God, how do I break that cycle? Well, we do it by the grace of God, for the grace of God. I'm going to invite Sam, who's going to actually play, not me, the piano, and Sean, sorry, going to play an item for us, and it's called Cycles. As we hear this song played, it's my heart's desire. I just pray that the Spirit of God would just really minister to us. Minister to us where we know there's strongholds in our life holding us back from the greater freedom that Christ has for us. Our desire that the Spirit of God comes in and really just touches your heart with His grace, and in that grace, we find the power to say no and the capacity to say yes to the teachings of Jesus. May God use this item, because He wants us out of the cycles of sin and into the freedom He has for us.
Didn't I conquer this last year? Tell me what I missed, 'cause I fear that it's coming back up again. Must be something I ate, Some songs, some show, some hate. The devil wants to extend the game. Free throws. And when it ends, he wants to make the sequel. Cause if he has another chance to take what he can make, my peace, my hope, my faith. See, the devil, he learns from your mistakes, even if you don't. That's how he keeps you in cycles, 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 cycles. But I'm not going in cycles, 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 cycles. This will end like I want it to. I win. The enemy will have to lose again. Cause I'm a different fighter now, and I have God to thank. Cause his joy is my strength. See, the devil will learn it's a mistake when I am sure that I'm not going in cycles, cycles. No, I'm not going in cycles, cycles. God help me in cycles, cycles. Lord help me in cycles, cycles. So Lord help me break free from all of my mistakes. See, your love is enough to make me new and help me in these cycles. Cycles, cycles. Lord, help me in these cycles, cycles. Ooh. See, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power. Jesus, there is power in the name of Jesus to break every cycle, to break all these cycles. See, there is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus to break all these cycles, to break every cycle, to break every cycle, cycle. Jesus, help us in these cycles.
Wow, yeah. Praise God, there is power in the name of Jesus to break cycles. I encourage you just to take a moment just to be with Jesus. Whatever that stronghold is that you know is holding you back, and maybe many if you're anything like me, take this moment, reach out for Jesus. What is the unmet needs? What is the unrealistic expectation? What are the unhealthy coping measures in your life right now? What is that stronghold? What is that struggle? There is power in the name of Jesus. Bring it to Jesus. Are you thirsty for Jesus? Are you thirsty for his living water, for change? It's going to mean giving up at times what we've been holding on to. That's hard. Seek out Jesus right now. Call upon his name. I'd love to invite the stewards of communion just to come around our tables. We'll have three tables, one in the front and on the sides, for the grace of God. The Apostle Paul said to Titus, for the grace of God, there is forgiveness and there is power in the name of Jesus. And Jesus, when he was sharing with his disciples before he died, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke that bread, and he said, eat in remembrance of my body that was broken for you. It's broken so that we can be whole. And Jesus, he took some wine and we have some juice as a symbol of his blood that flowed on that cross. And Jesus, these are the words of Jesus. Jesus said, not me, Jesus, he said, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood, the blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many, for the forgiveness of sins. Your sins, my sins. Real power to break cycles for the grace of God. This is the joy. This is the life. This is the freedom. And so I want to encourage us as you feel led to come up out of your chairs. It's a symbol to say to Jesus, yes, I'm thirsty, Jesus. And it's the power of the resurrected Jesus, because he's not in the grave, he's alive. It's the resurrection that gets us out of our seats and forward into the love of God. So coming forward this morning is really just a powerful statement of faith to Jesus Christ that you're coming forward because you need his grace and his forgiveness and his love to break cycles. Hold the cup as you return to your seat and we'll drink together. Allow me to pray. Lord, we thank you for this moment, for the grace of our God. Jesus, we thank you that your body was broken, your blood was shed on that cross, that we have real power in the name of Jesus to break cycles. Lord, I pray that your word would come powerfully into our hearts and our minds. Help us to take hold of your word, to pierce every argument against you, that we would truly take our thoughts and make them obedient to you. But in these moments, Jesus, may we just know the freedom of our salvation for your grace and your grace alone. In Jesus' name, amen. Please come forward, take some elements, return to your chair, and continue to confess sin, seek out Jesus. Let's stand together holding this cup as I invite the band to come forward. This is a symbol of the blood of Jesus that was shed to wash us clean of all our sin. And we do this in remembrance of Jesus Christ until he comes again. Let us drink.